Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to Unchurched. My name is Rebecca, and I'm your host for the next half an hour or so. Today, what we are doing is we are talking about church culture and everything that makes the church churchy. Yes. So basically, we're taking culture, like church culture, and there's a distinct difference between what church culture is and what the Bible says it should be. And then we examine what church culture is doing against the Bible, and then we decide for ourselves whether or not we need to change our culture or be fine with it. So church culture, and we're using the word culture in terms of like culture is basically, it's the ideals and beliefs of and actions that are result from the ideals and beliefs of a community, also and including the tradition. So it's the culture is the ideals and beliefs that affect the actions and activities and traditions of a community. So, like, and it's not just church that's got culture. There are lots of different cultures. Like, different countries have their overarching culture. The United States has a culture that values freedom, or has for a really long period of time that has valued freedom, that has valued freedom of thought and individualism and independence and individual independence. And they've valued that. And that is reflected in the attitudes and the thoughts and the traditions of people in this country, including the 4th of July and other small holidays that they have created, including Thanksgiving. Now, also, but you also find culture within smaller communities and towns and areas and municipalities. And you can even find it within, like, areas of a city, like that they have their own culture and that their own traditions that they do and their own things that they do. So, but what we're talking about is the culture that's within a church. Now, there's nothing wrong with having variations from church to church, and you can find like distinct cultural differences between denominations of churches, but you can also find them from church to church to church. And so it's basically what we're doing is we're examining that culture and comparing it to the Bible, because some of that culture I think is more worldly culture than it is actually should be Christ-centered culture, because there's a definite culture to the Bible and what Christ is, the ideas and the beliefs that are centered upon Christ should affect culture dramatically within the church. And there should be an underlying common culture from church to church to church that we go through. That no matter what church you go to, you should expect a certain type of underlying culture that that infiltrates. And so that's basically what this show is about. Now, if you've been listening for the last like 9 weeks, this is week 10. We haven't really been talking about a lot of culture. We've been talking more like foundational issues. And the reason that we're talking about more foundational issues is because if you don't have these basic traditional beliefs of who Christ is, of who God is, of God's role, of the Holy Spirit, of what salvation is, of what it means to be saved, of what our position is in the kingdom of God or in the family of God, that you're not going to be sure of what is okay as culture, and you're not going to be sure of what's okay. The culture is can change drastically. So, like, for example, if you believe that Jesus isn't God and that he's not the Son of God and that he's not part of God, but that he is a son of God, and that he's actually his own little God, and that you can become God just like Jesus was God if you do certain things, that that's going to dramatically, and your church believes that, your church is going to be, the culture in your church is going to be dramatically affected differently than if you believe who God says he is. Because we know that Jesus Christ is God because he said he is God, and he's been God forever and since the beginning and before the beginning. And Jesus Christ is the same today, forever, yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He's always been the Word of God. He will always be the Word of God. He is God, and he created everything. And so, it's a little bit more nuanced. We're not going to get into the whole Trinity thing on this episode, but I do want to say that just that small little perspective can dramatically affect the culture of your church. And so, or the role of traditions, if you hold traditions really high in church, then that can affect the overall culture of church as well. So there are little things that do affect that do affect culture. So last week, what we talked about is, like, we asked the question, are there good people? And we found out in the Bible that the Bible says no, there's no good people. Like, people are all bad. So can be hard for Christians. I mean, so when you go to church, you expect to find good people. You expect the people to attend church to be good people. And there's kind of like this overall, like, little, like, oh, well, I feel safe attending church because there's good people there. Well, I, understanding what the Bible says. So the Bible says the Bible says there's none. There's none righteous. It says that in Romans 3:10. I do remember there was one church that my husband and I, we were attending, and about like the third or fourth time we walked in and we'd met the pastor. And this is how a lot of church, you meet the pastor and it's like a 2-minute exchange, like the first time you meet him. And then the second time is like kind of the same thing again. So like, oh, what's your name again? I forgot. Hey, glad to have you here. Hope to see you again. And so you've heard this guy share his like life story, but he knows nothing about you, right? In like three or four times you hear his life story, you hear who he is, you hear about his family and his experiences, and then a little bit about the Word, and he knows nothing about you, and he's like, oh, you guys are good people. When he saw us and said, oh, you guys are good people, I was like, yeah. That just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because it's like, no, because I wanted to stop him and have like this deep theological conversation with him right then and there and go, actually, you know, I'm not a good person in and of myself. I am not a good person. There's nothing about me that makes me a good person. Like, I'm horrible. You don't know me very well. I believe my husband said, you don't know us very well. And he laughed, but my husband was being dead serious. And it's like, well, I'm not a good person because I'm a good person. I'm a good person because, like, the only thing that makes me good is that Jesus Christ lives in me, is that I have been reborn, is that I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, that he took all of my sins into the grave. He took my old man into the grave and he buried it. And then when he rose again victorious, when he rose out of the grave, and when God rose him out of the grave, pulled him out of the grave, is that my old man stayed in the grave, but that I have a new life in Christ, that I have a new inner person because of what Christ did. I have the ability to be reborn again, is that what God did in me is that he started a new creation and he got rid of the old person. I'm not a good person because of what, because of what I do. I'm a good person because of what Christ did in me. Now, it is possible that my pastor may have been saying, oh, I think you guys are saved, which is different, but that's, but you don't just walk around going, oh, you're a good person, like, to people like that, because until you are absolutely sure that 100% that they have salvation in Christ. Because I can tell you one thing is that even though I have a new, that I have been reborn again, even though I have that new man in me, that the possibility of me being an absolutely horrible and terrible person still exists, because I have this thing called flesh, and I have this thing that, and I have a mind that needs to be renewed, and it needs to read the word of God, and it needs to hear the word of God. And I need to be reminded of what makes a good person, because if I don't follow what God says and what God does, then I'm not representing God very well, and I'm not representing the person that's inside and the what God has made inside of me very well. And so I'm not a good person because I'm trying to be a good person. I am not a good person because I haven't done anything horrible. If I'm a good person, it's because God has made me that way. If I do any good at all, it's because God has made me that way. If I can't even credit, I cannot credit the good stuff I do to myself, because the good stuff I do, I know, isn't because of who I am. It's because of what God has made me and who God has made me. And so, who I was is a horrible person. Who I am now in Christ is good. And so if I do anything good, it's not me that's doing it, because I'm still struggling with me, but it's Christ in me doing good things. I'm not doing good things because that gets me to God. I'm doing good things because that's what God wants me to do, because I have a relationship with God, and God wants me to do good things. And I feel horrible if I do horrible things. And so, and it's not just feeling horrible, it's like the right thing to do. Whether I feel like it or not, I want to do the right thing. And do I fail at it? All the time. All the time. So that's basically what I wanted to have sit down and like tell him. But in our culture, it's not appropriate to talk to your pastor and say, so, like, have a big, huge theological conversation in the middle of the church lobby and go, hey, so exactly what do you mean here? And what are we discussing? Because right now, what I am trying to say is, because what I heard you say and what I know to be the truth are, we're not quite matching up. I would hope, I should have had that conversation with him. But, you know, hey, so, but that's basically nobody's a good person. And the Bible tells us that. We go to Ecclesiastes 7:20, and I know there's people that are like, oh, but I know good people. And I'm like, no, you don't. Because people that, when you're motivated, because it all comes down to the motivations. So Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, indeed, there's not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. And I mean, that is absolutely 100% true, because in 1 John, it says that it's the first epistle of John. John says that if a man says he does not sin, he lies, and he does not live by the truth. And that is, and he doesn't qualify between the saved and the unsaved there. He just says, if any man says he does not sin, he lies, and he does not live by the truth. Meaning that there are people out there who, there are people, and I know them, and I've met them, who are Christians who said, oh yeah, I've gone an entire day without sinning. And I'm like, oh, you are such a liar. I know this isn't true, because the number one, this is what the Bible says. Oh, and I've heard, like, I've had this discussion face to face with people where they're like, oh no, but that's talking about unsaved people. No, he's not qualifying it. He says, if any man No, that's not what he means. He's talking about unsaved people there. No, he says, if any man says he does not sin, he lies, and he does not live by the truth. And I mean, like, so if we go to Matthew, and these are the words of Jesus, and I'm pretty sure that most Christians will not argue with the words of Jesus, but there are some that do. And so that's between you and God. But in Matthew chapter 5, now if you're familiar with Matthew 5, 6, 7, and I believe 8 a little bit, no, that's when he comes down from the mountain. But he has this big, huge sermon that he does on the mount. And it's where the Beatitudes come from. And Jesus just basically lays it out and says, you guys have been doing the law wrong. And he's like, you think you're following the law, but you're actually not. Now, if you're not familiar with the law is the groups and rules and things that people should be doing that are located in the Torah, which happens to be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And that those five books of the Torah include the Mosaic Law, which is basically the rules and how to live according to what God wants his people to live by accordingly. Well, it is impossible. Anybody that looks this over goes, oh my gosh, this is next impossible. And if you start looking at it, you realize that you've broken at least one of these portions of the law. And Jesus is telling this, basically is explaining the law, which the Pharisees haven't been doing and which the leaders of the law haven't been doing. And when you read Kings and Chronicles and the historical books, you find out that they really haven't been following it ever since Moses gave them the law. And so because there's a lot to it. And even if you try to do it perfectly, you're going to end up falling short. Which he says here, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, he says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says, you have heard the ancients were told you shall not commit murder, which is one of the Ten Commandments. And if you've ever heard anybody talk about the Ten Commandments, there's like these 10 big rules that were written on these stone tablets that God wrote and Moses brought down to the people. And the people had broken every single one of them. And so that these are one of these big commandments is you shall not murder. You shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. So this is what Jesus says right here in verse 22. He says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. And so he's basically saying that this is where he's equating being angry with another person to murder. That if you've ever been angry with someone, if you've ever told somebody that they're not good for anything, if you've ever told somebody that they're an absolute and complete fool, that they're an idiot, and that you believe that, it is essentially that you have committed murder with that person. You've basically killed them. You've written them off. You've said that it would be better if they had never been born. That's essentially what you are saying when you do these things. And Jesus equates this to murder. Now, this is a hard thing for a lot of people because they're like, but I haven't killed anyone. Well, now if we unpack this, is that socially, is that what happens when you act on your culture, your individual culture, is that when you have views and beliefs, they affect your actions. And so, and it creates a culture. So if you view and believe that somebody is worthless, that somebody is an idiot, and that you have no, that it would be better if they had never been born. But if you believe that they're an, or just say that you believe they're an idiot, they're a fool. It's going to affect your actions. You're not going to call them. You're not going to invite them over to dinner. You're not going to invite them into your social circles. You are going to conveniently forget about them quite a bit. To forget about somebody like that is to basically, you have committed social murder on them. You have essentially cut them out of your life. No, and I know it's, there are people like, well, no, toxic people. I need to cut out toxic people out of my life. No, I need to cut out these idiots. Well, Jesus also says further on in here is that, that you're to love your enemies, that you're to love toxic people. Because what is an enemy? Basically, an enemy is a toxic person. That a toxic person is your enemy or your frenemy. And when you view people as an enemy, that they become is that you're basically saying, I don't want them in my life anymore. It would be better if they never existed, if they had never been born. I don't want anything to do with him. But that's not what Jesus says to do. And I know that this is a hard saying for a lot of people because it's like, oh my gosh, I hate what you're saying because this is awful. And but I'm not saying this. This is what Jesus says. And like, for if you're not like sure on what I'm saying here is what Christ is saying, let's go down a little bit further because he even says in verse 27 of Matthew chapter 5, he says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, if you're looking at a woman and go, oh man, that's, or a guy and go, oh yeah, that's the person I want. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It'd be so great. Just to sit there and imagine having that with that person, that you're in your mind when you interact with that person, that your beliefs is that your actions, whether you realize it or not, are going to be different towards that person. That how you interact with that person is going to be different when you do that. And there's a lot of people that are like, oh, no. But when you believe, when you have actions and beliefs that they affect, when you have beliefs and ideals, they affect your actions and the traditions that you interact with. And this is what Jesus is saying is that, no, you've already done it in your heart, is that even though you've thought about it, it's like you've already done it. And so it affects, and those sorts of things affect everything else. And he goes on and he talks about false vows. He talks about other things. Chapter 5 is really hard hitting because when you sit there and you examine it and you go, and examine it to yourself. Take this up and look at yourself and go, have I done these things? And ask God to reveal to you if you've done these things. It really makes a difference with how you react. Because it's so easy to go, oh, yeah, I know people who do this. Oh, yeah, I know people who do that. Yeah. But no, let's look at it first before we start like examining others. Let's like look at our own culture, our own individual ideas, our own beliefs and our own views, because those are going to affect how we look at things. And the best place to look at is like where Jesus is talking about how we should be viewing other people and how we should be viewing our and examining ourselves against the law. And so, yeah, you may have outwardly not committed any of the Ten Commandments, or maybe you've never eaten pork or shellfish, or you feel like you haven't dishonored your family, your mother or your father. But I can guarantee you that when you were a small child, that yes, you did. and that your parents will confirm it. That there are people who have just abandoned their parents. That's dishonoring your parents. That there are when you have hate towards another person, that it's the same as socially murdering that person. That social murder is murder. That ignoring a person completely is murder, because it's saying basically it's basically social abortion. And I believe that every person that is created by God. I believe that every person that exists is valuable. And I believe that every person is here for a reason. Now, because I believe that that's what the Bible says. And I believe that the Bible says that every person is fearfully and wonderfully made. But I also believe that we are all horribly flawed from the get-go, because we have entered into sin. So because we're born with sin, and because of that, because of what Adam and Eve have done, is that we are basically horrible, terrible people. Every person is a bad person. Whether you want to believe that or not, that's what the Bible says. And from that standpoint and from that understanding, from everything from your actions to your thought life, and how your thought life affects your actions and affects your culture, is drastic. It dramatically does that. So what do we do? Well, we can't just start pointing our finger at everybody. We need to first look at ourselves, and we need to examine, is what I believe and are my ideals affecting how I view people? Are they affecting my testimony of for Christ? Is that affecting my relationship with God? I mean, these are the things that we need to examine. We need to examine them within ourselves first. And we need to examine whether or not we truly believe what the Bible says. And we need to truly examine whether or not we are, whether or not we really love God. Because if we really love God, we're going to love what he says. We're going to be reading the word of God. We're going to be involved with that, and we're going to be invested with what God says about himself. We're going to be invested with what God says about us, and we're going to be invested with what God says about other people. And that those are the things that really, and that those fundamental ideas that of who God is, of how we get to know God, of how God views people, is going to affect culture profoundly if we do what the word says. So I highly recommend, if you don't know what to do, pick up the Bible and start reading Matthew. Any place that you come across, and ask God to convict you. Ask God to search your heart and go, hey, maybe I have missed the mark here. Maybe I have been not the greatest Christian in the world. Maybe I have not been truly following after God. It's to pick up the Bible, start reading it, and ask God to reveal to you where you have missed it. And then when he reveals it to you, ask for forgiveness from God. Receive the forgiveness that he has for you, and then ask him to help you to make that change. That's the only way that we can move forward as a Christian culture. All right. Thank you so much for listening to Unchurched today. My name has been Rebecca. If you have any questions, you can write to me at talktome@unchurched.net. You can also, if you'd like to be a guest on this show, because I'm starting to look for guests and I really want to talk to interesting people who have really interesting ideas on church and church culture. So if you are interested and you want to talk about maybe CRT, maybe homosexuality, maybe those sorts of things, and talk about how church should view That I want to talk to you. So, but also foundational issues as well. We will still be continuing on that, but we're going to be incorporating some other things here really soon. Thank you so much for joining in. Thank you so much for listening. Without you, we wouldn't have a program. And I appreciate you a lot. Yeah, email me at talktome@unchurched.net. Yeah, I'll see what else. That's it. All right. Thank you so much. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you next week.